So, but thank you very much, including our guests from SALGA and from the department. Welcome. We start with SALGA. Yes, we start with SALGA. Sorry. Yes. Okay. I see. Shireen had already organized an uprooting agenda item here. The purpose of this briefing, members, you remember that we had, during our oversight work, we've been raising this issue of payment of, it's not just rates, but for services as well, that we've been challenging provincial departments and municipalities about their how to deal with this issue. In our last discussion with the department of the annual report, we said that we would like to, by the end of the year, of the financial year, that the monies owed to municipalities must be dropped beyond 80%. We said that we really want to see concrete progress. Both municipalities themselves must act swiftly to bill and demand payment, but provincial departments and national departments must proactively themselves work with municipalities to sort out any dispute that might exist about these matters. So we are saying it to SALGA representative that this is what we've said to the Department of Culture, that the two of you and Treasury must act swiftly to bring down these resources. So we've asked you to come and talk to us about this matter today. This is a long outstanding agenda item. The people who are going to lead us on this thing were supposed to do so, and then they chose to go and head off to some provincial meetings preparing for the election of the new SALGA leadership. So, but now that you are available, thank you very much for having come. Please go ahead.
Before you start,
yes.
I'm sure there's another agenda item that we could proceed this discussion with. And if we don't deal with it now, I think our minds won't put it to rest until we finish. So we need to offer you, personally, our congratulations at your promotion, and to say that we're very delighted, not to be losing you, but your own personal success. And you've been a great chair, so thank you very much for the kind of sharing you've done, and good luck for the future.
Thank you very much, Peter, even if you're being rebellious. Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yes, Natalie.
Chair, I don't know whether we're now in Peter's proposal as an item, but he hasn't supported it, then he's already in. I think he must do the same. Chair, on behalf of the Polo Committee, but other members can speak on we are very much, we are happy for you, but very much disappointed that you are leaving us. I was telling Shireen, saying that we wonder who's going to be sent to us as chair. We are praying to God if that person could be the very same chair that will tolerate each and every problem for everyone, which will be able to accommodate each and every committee member, knowing each and everyone's character and behavior. You used to know us if you are angry. You used to know us if you are happy. You used to know us if we take up our spectacle saying that now we can't sing. If you know us, if you don't want to continue with the meeting or to speak, you will see us. We take out our spectacle. We don't read. We can't see. You don't see us. And you will just laugh at us. And we are hoping and we are praying that we wish you well in your new deployment, hoping that those people who will be working with you enjoy the very same sentiment of having you in their department. Tinang in our language is lahlekelwe ukuhamba kwakho, but we are hoping to to work with a better person.
Thank you very much.
Chair, if I might just add on to what my colleagues have said, you've been a fantastic chair. It's been a pleasure working under you in this committee. You've always been fair. You always had an ear and listened to each of our inputs. And I think you've been more than a chair. You've also been a friend to this committee. And we will miss you sorely.
And your understanding that the woman can get a little bit of time for shopping.
So I know that I'm not supposed to talk when my wife has spoken, but this is on personal matters. Thank you very much. And I think you'll continue looking after me. Thank you.
That's very personal. Not even a state secret.
We've been told, Chairperson, that protocol won't be followed today. I think all has been said. It is, I must say, when I was sent to the portfolio, I think it was early in the year, I moved over. I came with great trepidation. But to my surprise, and I really found a home in this committee with you, Chair. And I want to say thank you for that relationship that has been built. Thank you for the guidance that you've given us. And the way in which you've led this committee. I think all our fellow members have shared those sentiments. So I want to wish you well as in your new post, in your new deployment. And may they enjoy what we have enjoyed. But mainly, will you enjoy it, Chair?
Already said no protocol before the go ahead. It's all right.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, officials present here from the different departments. From Southern side, I am Councillor Johnson, Provincial Chair of Southern and Northern Cape, but representing the National Committee. Chair must also join the team before we start this discussion, but let me quickly introduce the officials that are with me. We are having the Executive Director, Majua, who's dealing with the LED or economic. Then we have Johan Metler, who is also the Executive Director dealing with governance. I must say, I need also to take this opportunity to congratulate you for being appointed into your new position as a deputy minister. I was on my way to the airport when this was announced in the radio. And even this morning I read in the newspapers to say, the chairperson is now being affirmed to be a deputy minister. Then I asked myself, so does it mean that the chair will not come to this meeting? Then my officials were saying to me, Councillor Johnson, this chairperson is so passionate about the issue that we need to present to this committee today, and they would like to see you being part of this meeting. We were assuming that there will be a deputy or acting chair in this meeting, but to our surprise, you made it a point that you come to this meeting and really deal with the issues that we are supposed to deal with before you leave. And, I wish you all the best in the new position. I hope and trust that you will not forget this particular portfolio committee. You will still be able to make your input from where you are sitting as a deputy minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'll come back to this matter when I close the meeting. Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, let's start. sorry, you got what's the documentation? Okay. All right. Let us proceed with the next item on the agenda, and that is Salgas. I don't why they chose to. I don't know why Shireen chose to talk about payment of property rates, you know, as if there were no services and other things. Why narrow it down? I hope you didn't understand it that narrow.
In fact, we have two presentations prepared. The first presentation is to give you some of our thoughts on the local government budget analysis and review that was completed by Treasury. Maybe if you want to take that first, if you want it, but otherwise we can continue this.
No, do this first and then you can come to that one.
Okay.
But the problem is tight. You can do is we've got to try and manage your presentation such that we can spend a bit of time on some of the highlights of the next one so that we don't go into detail. Otherwise, we'll do an injustice to the next presentations.
Maybe I should also say that Public Works is here, and I think Kathy, CFO from Public Works, she probably will also be doing a small presentation, I suppose, to just complement what we're saying here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that will be one part, and then the second part is we'll do our response.
All right.
Chair, just to maybe start off by saying that this presentation is part of a broader presentation that we've done at Budget Forum, where we looked at broader challenges and trying to understand the challenges municipalities face in collecting revenue. And we know that that is really one of the underpinnings of some of the challenges that municipalities have. So this is one part of it. Okay, but we thought, we've been engaging with the Department of Public Works, and you'll probably see a lot of similarities in some of our language as well. But what I wanted to do, and I've mentioned this to the Chair, is that we wanted to just bring to your notice the current challenges and the current system of how government property rates is actually paid to municipalities. I won't take too long, and you've got the presentation, so some slides I'll probably even skip through it. But just to say, I mean, we know that municipal revenues comprise grants and own revenue, and we know own revenues are made up of government and consumers and different types of consumers. The National Treasury report also highlights the importance of municipal own revenues, and I think that's quite an important sort of point to make. The revenue trends in municipalities has been declining over the past few years. And again, in the National Treasury report, the percentage of own revenue to grant revenue is declining as a percentage of total revenue. Okay, and that is obviously a cause for concern that municipalities, particularly in the smaller municipalities and more outside the metros, they're becoming more and more reliant on grants. And that is obviously due to the first point, an increase in government grants, declining own revenues. There's also the global economic crisis, and that's led to challenges of affordability for consumers to pay, and service delivery pressures. Municipalities have had huge financial burdens in terms of trying to just keep up with the service delivery demands, both from a capital as well as operational point of view. And this has basically obviously placed a financial burden on the viability of municipalities and their performance. The context for payment of government rates and services has been evolving over a number of years, and I'm actually just going to go through that. So in 2008, am I right? I hope that date is correct. The previous policy was changed, and on treatment of government-owned properties in respect of municipal boards. And this is how the policy goes. The property rates and service charges have to be billed separately. So each municipality must bill, you know, there's property rates and services separately to different departments. That property rates is the responsibility of the Department of Public Works, and both national and provincial. Property rates have to be billed annually and is paid for through a national grant. Okay. And service charges are billed monthly and is paid by the general expenses of the line departments. Service charges is also the responsibility of the respective national and provincial line departments. Okay, it sounds like quite complicated, but in a picture, this is actually what it means, that for each and every property, the municipal billing system must identify the line department that is using that property, and once they identify the line item, they must find out who is the responsible provision. line department responsible for that property. Then they must go to rates, and they must say, well, Public Works is responsible for this, and is it National Public Works? Because some properties are managed by National Public Works, and some properties are managed by National Public Works. So your billing system, if it doesn't relate and correctly identify these correct departments and the correct people, this bill will not get paid. Okay. And I mean, I think if you understand the really challenges that municipalities have had just with their own the residential customer database, we can understand that you know these bills are going to be problematic. And Kathy will allude to the two challenges in this respect. So what this does is that every time there's transformation of government at a national and provincial level, so when Department of Education became Department of Basic Education and Department of Higher Education, every municipality had to I'll ask Councillor Johnson this, has to readjust your billing system to say, well, for each property, which one goes to public work? I mean, which one goes to higher education? Which one goes to basic education? And then also between that, basic education, which one goes to national basic education? Which one goes to provincial basic education? It gets really complicated. But remember, every time you change a configuration in government, it has huge ramifications all the way down through a municipal property. Okay, because the bill will not reach the correct person. Transformation of political of local government is not synchronized with national and provincial. So the problems are the other way around as well. Local government sort of configurations keep changing, and when their configuration changes, the billing systems go out of bounds. The changes in policy of how government treats payment of rates and services, this is evolving, and Kathy will probably speak to you about how this grant for property rates, they are, you know, there's part of the reform of this grant is to eventually incorporate it into the provincial equitable share. And for me, that is, I think, a bit of a concern. There's also fragmented municipal policies in treatment of government, of national and provincial government properties. So, you know, they obviously charge different government departments differently because each municipality, you know, adopts its own rates policy and charges, you know, according to its own budget policies. So, I mean, it gets really complicated, and therefore the system, I think, is under strain, and it actually doesn't work. It's very complicated. So some of the challenges is the ability for municipalities to split the bills vary across the country. Okay, if you want to clean up your database, you cannot start off, with regards to government property, you cannot start at the deeds office, because the deeds office tells you this is the Republic of South Africa. That's all it tells you. It doesn't tell you National Provincial Public Works, which is the line department, using this, and that's what you need to pay a consultant to actually go out and fix. Okay, and therefore the ability for them to split the bills, we think, varies across the country. It may not be possible in maybe some of the very smaller municipalities, as is the current experience. Municipalities are unaware of transformation of national and provincial government post-elections. We think that even after the 2009 elections, most of these billing systems haven't adjusted to the new Department of Rural Development. The timing of billing and payments in relation to financial years of government is a problem. Asset registers are not updated within government and therefore also not aligned to municipal valuation roles and vice versa. Okay. Lack of coordination alignment of national government in municipal valuation roles. I'll talk to that in a second. No effective system of communication between national and provincial and municipalities. And it's all just based on a customer-client relationship, Chair. And in fact, the relationship is an intergovernmental one, and therefore that is what we really need to begin changing. And it's also, as Department of Public Works will indicate, in some provinces, in many provinces, there's insufficient funds in the grant to pay property rates. So in KZN, for example, I mean, they've identified, I don't know if it's been addressed now, but I mean, you know, they had like a 200 million rand or 300 million rand deficit about 2 years ago or a year ago. And in fact, in the budget adjustment, I think last year this time, the minister actually made additional, the finance minister actually made additional funds available for KZN. And I'm sure if if there's anyone here from KZN, they would know in Etequini, the municipality was basically cutting off electricity in the provincial buildings. We discussed some of these issues with the department, and we took this to MINMAC. And these were some of the resolutions. I mean, one was that provincial public works need to conduct an audit of all properties in the provinces to enable informed projections. The baselines that are there, I mean, are not sufficient. And in fact, what we found in KZN, probably the extreme example, is that when they cleaned up their database at the provincial level, the amount of rates that they owed went up by R1 billion over three financial years, over the medium term. So 300 million rand a year of additional money was required to pay. And that's why those municipalities are crying. That's why Etequini is cutting off rates, cutting off electricity. We need to reconcile these asset registers with municipal valuation rolls, because if that doesn't happen, okay, your valuation roll is either going to be out of date, or there's going to be a property you know that you should be paying and you're not paying for. Public works to inform SALGA on all municipalities who have not been successful in the splitting of poles. Because we thought if we knew that, if we had that information, we could then at least address that with the relevant leadership in at the provincial level and find out why municipalities have not been able to split the poles. Conduct an awareness campaign on new billing and payment policy so that all correct departmental contact details on there. If you don't send the bill to the correct person, that bill will never get paid. Okay. Identify low-capacity municipalities and develop an action plan to support them. Because clearly we know that the problem is not only one side. The problems are on both sides, and especially in low-capacity municipalities. The systems are not up to date, and they're not going to be able to even comply with a lot of these proposals to bill and collect property rates from government departments. And particularly we know that in those municipalities, particularly, government departments are the biggest client when it comes to collecting rates. Because, I mean, if you go to a municipality where the town is very small or there aren't many businesses, I mean, your institutions are basically the ones that actually, provide own revenue. SALGA and Public Works to take a joint proposal for additional funding to the budget forum, and I think we haven't really picked up on this. Okay, some of the operation. So we met with some of the cities, Chair, and we identified these specific issues. The problems of devolution. There are problems of invoicing and payment schedule. There's a land audit that was required, and there's issues of outstanding interest that it keeps getting raised. And we know that this interest thing is a big part of it. Because it's interest that keeps getting capitalized, and this interest is growing substantially, substantially over the financial years until we address the problem. So I'm not going to go through these specific issues, but these were type of issues and some proposals that the cities and ourselves actually made, to try and address with the department. Okay, so try and, for example, sort out and just verify the old debt. Because prior to 2008, there's a whole lot of debt sitting there. If you don't address that, we keep sitting with the backlog. And then, obviously, you need to improve the system from 2008 onwards. There's issues of invoicing and payment schedules. Very often what happens is that the schedule that you get from the department, from Public Works, or even the line department, doesn't align with the payments that are made. And there's the proposal was made for 1 point for delivery of invoices, for example. I mean, every municipality should know that in Public Works, this is the person you go to in Northern Cape or in Free State. And at a national level, this is the person you should go to. I mean, if municipalities, and there's 278 of them, they don't have that correct person's details. I mean, it might get caught up and might get lost in the department. Municipalities to reflect advance payments on their accounts. So some very sort of operational issues that needs to be addressed. So if these things don't get addressed, again, the payments don't get made. And the land audit, and I think this was the department raised a specific problem around schools on municipal land not paying property rates. Or municipalities raised this as a problem. transfers of properties during township establishment, and then, you know, those need to be reflected in the billing system, and very often they don't. Issue of interest, as I've indicated. Okay. And these were some issues that the department raised. We need to investigate, for example, the rating of schools and health facilities as essential services. They were proposing that you waive the payment of interest. The problem with wavering interest, you know, interest, is that each municipality has got its own credit control policy and its own rates policy. So, you know, it can't be a national process, and this has to be negotiated individually with the municipalities. Retrospective billing should be limited to 3 years. That was a proposal. So just maybe in conclusion, some of the points that maybe one just emphasize: the need for land audit and verification with municipal valuation roles. There needs to be some support to municipalities. Funding for property rates must be sufficient, because as we clean up the asset registers, the funds required are going to increase quite substantially. And there needs to be an awareness campaign of the current system. We think many municipalities are not aware. Just to give you another anecdote, in terms of your new portfolio change, property rates, and Kathy can confirm this when she's presenting, property rates in former homeland areas that belong to government is in fact not the responsibility of public works, but in fact the responsibility of rural development. So if there's a public property in the former Bakudatswana, the property rates for that is in fact sitting with the new department that you're going to be going to. Maybe we can engage on that one day. Well, in fact, it's a historical issue. I just picked up when we met with the department, so Kathy can give you the history behind this. I don't know how it happened. And lastly, maybe to chair, we're concerned about the continuing reform of this grant. Is that if this grant gets incorporated into the provincial equitable share, the issue of accountability becomes a problem, because our systems are not working, and it's very difficult to hold each other accountable if the system of billing and payments and, you know, are not working. And the baselines are not correct. We know that the baselines are maybe better now than they were in 2008, but we know that they're not sufficient. So you know, if we hope that the department and treasury doesn't push too fast with the reform of this grant and incorporate it into the provincial equitable share, because then we're going to have provinces saying, we don't have money, we can't pay. And you know, that's going to lead to another problem. Thank you very much.
I think it's appropriate that you follow through here.
Previously, the National Department of Public Works used to take care of all the payment of property rates.
And maybe even before I go further, let me also confirm that the properties belonging to rural development, they are currently being paid by National Department in terms of property rates, and we are in the process of implementing phase two of the devolution, where those properties will now be devolved. The budget for payment of property rates will now be devolved to rural development. I thought I should just capture the responsibilities of the National Department so that we can have a picture of how the National Department and Provincial Public Work the responsibilities towards this grant to municipalities. The National Department of Public Works oversees the transfer of the function. We provide support and training as needed to the Provincial Departments of Public Works. Previously, this function was done by National. So when we devolved, we took the responsibilities to ensure that the province is able to manage the grant and pay. We monitor the performance of the grant and payment of property rates to the municipalities. We transfer the amounts. The budget this year is about 1.8 billion, which is sitting in the books of the National Department of Public Works. We have a payment schedule in terms of how funds are transferred to the provinces in three installments. We work closely with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, investing of relevant properties in the provinces' name, because this is one of the key challenges in terms of some of the rates that are not paid. And we submit quarterly performance report to Treasury, and we facilitate the request for additional funding through the MTF. If there is any shortfall experienced by the provincial public works, they submit their needs to us, and we consolidate information to facilitate funding. And I must say, in the previous year, since we started with the devolution on the 1st of April 2008, National Treasury have been very much supportive in terms of providing additional funding as and when it is needed by the provinces. In terms of the challenges and some of the solutions that we've put in place since this grant was implemented from the 1st of April 2008, we met with almost all the municipalities around 2009, advocating the issue of the grant, discussing the challenges, trying to resolve all the debts prior to 1st April 2008. And may I also mention also that National Treasury gave the department money prior to the devolution of 1st April 2008 to settle all the old debts that arose prior to that date. Unfortunately, the funding was not enough. And at that stage, the municipalities were also not ready with their accounts. And therefore, there was no conclusion in terms of whether all payments were done. Whatever was invoiced was paid by the department, but the municipalities did not have complete records, and therefore some of the invoices remained unpaid to date. Some of the challenges that we experienced as the national and provincial public works in terms of this was delays in municipalities to generate invoices and property rate schedules. This is something that actually today it's still a problem where we don't get the invoices on time. Municipalities with inefficient billing systems, incorrect billing, mixing water, electricity, and rates when there was a clear agreement that the bills will be separated because we are responsible for the property rates, but then the schools and health departments, they pay the municipal services. Poor payment schedules. Some of the Excel spreadsheets that they gave us were not source documents that one can use for payment, and using those kind of documents would result in audit queries. Some of the municipalities did not have valuation roles, especially the low-capacity municipalities in the rural areas. Delay in issuing invoices on properties affected by municipal demarcation of boundaries. Where there's demarcation of boundaries, it becomes very problematic. It takes long before the municipalities can separate the invoicing and submit to public works. Invoices sent to wrong offices. This was a very prominent problem where invoices would be delivered at completely incorrect offices. Municipalities billing DPW for properties which are not registered, for instance, private properties would be billed to the national or provincial departments. Through our interaction and the forums that we had facilitated with the municipalities, for instance, in the Free State,
they actually go to the municipalities, sit there and assist them to generate their invoices. They don't wait for the municipality to invoice. They facilitate the process. These initiatives include assisting the municipalities obtain correct addresses for delivering invoices. Since our interaction in 2009, we've made it a point that there is that constant interaction and communication with the various municipalities. We communicate, we ensure that they understand the 30-day payment. They also ensure that the invoices are correctly received and signed off by the relevant departments. The provinces also started the debt management forums where the provincial public works and the municipalities would meet and sit and discuss the debts, including the services debts. And that process has actually helped quite a lot in terms of the municipalities realizing the constraints that they have and the challenges and improving. And this we have seen in on the improvement in the payment of property rates, because we started very low at about 70%, 60% spending of the grant. And the previous year we went up to 78%, which showed that some of the municipalities are coming on board now. We also have challenges of some of the municipalities who are charging abnormal rates. For instance, in the Free State, there is a municipality, Thabo Mofutsanyane, I think Thabo Mofutsanyane. The property rates there are extremely abnormal for government properties, almost three times what they charge the private sector. And those are some of the things that we are looking into in conjunction with discuss this with COPTA to say we need to look at how the property rates are also arrived at, so that there is a sense of fairness in terms of how we are being charged. We started around June this year. We called a meeting with COPTA, National Treasury, the Presidency. In fact, this meeting was necessitated by some of the discussions around the huge government debt, and in particular the debt owed by public works to municipalities. That meeting involved the DGs and of the four departments that I've mentioned. And from that meeting, we formed a forum, a task team that comprised public works, cooperative governance, performance monitoring and evaluation, and the Presidency and National Treasury. I chair that meeting. We developed an action plan, a very comprehensive action plan. The action plan was not just about having meetings and discussing the debt. It was about doing the real work and moving away from discussions, but where municipalities would come with boxes of invoices and we sit there, sort the invoices and reconcile, agree on the differences. But then we started with two. We chose a metro and a rural municipality to test the approach of being hands-on in terms of resolving these debts. Around the 6th and 7th of October, we had this workshop with Etigwini Municipality. According to our records, we had paid everything to the municipality of Etigwini in terms of property rates. But when we met with them during the 2 days, they submitted 614 million as an amount that is still outstanding. But included in this amount were current payments that the provinces are still making, and they had included other deals which did not necessarily belong to public works. The action plan has been revised, and they are currently reconciling all the invoices. What they submitted to me 2 weeks ago was interest charges of about 25 million, which they said the interest was never paid when we settled the previous debt. And those are some of the issues that we are beginning to address and discuss with Etigwini Municipality. This was one of our first pilots, and the lessons learned has helped us to come up with more comprehensive action plans. Then we also visited Port St. John's Municipality in Tata on the 12th and the 3rd of September. This was actually our first pilot project. From 2011 to current, DPW, in fact, the municipality claimed 2.7 million. But then through this interaction, we discovered that
DPW National had paid 3.5 million. And there was proof of payment submitted to the municipality. The discrepancy shows you that even the municipality's records were not correct. Then the municipality claimed that Provincial Public Works owes 3.4 million. We submitted proof of payments, and it was realized that the province had already paid 1.27 million. The balance of 2.1 was debt arising from pre-1st April 2008. These are some of the challenges that we identified as we were reconciling. We realized that municipalities received the money, but they allocated the money into a suspense account. They did not set off against the debtor's book. This initiative, which is the one with COCTA and Presidency, is also being complemented by the initiative that was started by Treasury in February this year, where Treasury requested all the municipalities to submit outstanding balances prior to 1st April 2008. The consolidation of the schedules and supporting documents were concluded in September. All the municipalities have in fact, I think it's about a few municipalities who did not submit. Most of them did submit. We are sitting with about 45 boxes full of invoices that we received from municipalities. We have already discussed the way forward with National Treasury in terms of how the reconciliation is going to unfold, because at DPW, we are of the view that some of the invoices that have been submitted were paid. The challenge could be where the municipalities did not allocate the amounts to their debtors' book. We've also acknowledged the capacity within DPW to deal with this such that by the end of March, we had cleared all the debt coming from prior 1st April 2008, and we are in the process of bringing in contract workers who have to reconcile not just April 2008, but they need to reconcile anything prior from 2008. So it could be 10 years, 13 years, 15 years of information that has to be accessed to reconcile any payment that is being purported as still outstanding. We are also interacting with other municipalities who were not billing previously, who are now coming on board to discuss with us some of the properties that were never built. This is a presentation of a slide showing the 45 boxes that I mentioned in terms of the total amount is 443 million, which the various provinces said as DPW we still owe invoices dating back to prior 2008, and this is the amount that we are currently reconciling. Chair, I must say there is a very concerted effort from DPW together with COCTA. These initiatives are reported to FOSAT on a bi-weekly basis. COCTA has already drafted a cabinet memo that will be going to cabinet on the status of the debt and the work that has been done to resolve some of the issues. In conclusion, Chair, I want to say the debt reported by municipalities is indeed taken seriously by the department, and to this end, robust engagements with municipalities have already commenced. I also have a forum with the CFOs of the provincial public works where we discuss some of these debts and we engage the various municipalities to provide support. We will be meeting with the CFOs in the next around the second week of November to discuss some of the things that we have discovered in the 45 boxes that we have received, because some of these payments could have been done at provincial level. I know that in KZN they had excess money in terms of the property rates grant, and we agreed with them that they will use that money to pay off the prior to 2008. Debt, which they did. They paid at Eguini Municipality. What they have submitted to me recently, it's a request to pay the 25 million, which is just interest on the previous debt that was owed. The biggest challenge is the disputes between the provinces and the municipalities where the municipality is invoicing incorrectly or where some of the debts claimed are not genuine. In KZN, I know we still have a problem of Ingonyama Trust in terms of the payment of property rates. But increasingly, We are seeing most of the provinces now coming on board after they have done their asset register. We've got Eastern Cape, they've done their full audit on the asset register, and now they are able to project properly in terms of the funds that must be requested from the National Treasury. National Department of Public Works has got a huge task of conducting the property or the land audit, which will then give National Treasury a clear picture of how much we will pay if all the registers are up to date. The Western Cape did an exercise also where it showed that they may need almost five times the amount that we are allocating currently if the audit is concluded. There is a project that has been started by National in terms of completing the asset register. Once the vesting is completed and the asset registers are now accurate, we will be able to know exactly our debts relating to municipalities. But currently, we are just making sure that whatever is on the asset register, whatever the municipalities has built in terms of the valuation role, we pay. Thank you.
Members, there's the presentation. Salga, do you want to run through your comments on the review? And then we'll move to the general questions. But just focus on the highlights, not the entirety of it. And then we'll take questions and comments from members.
Outcomes, which is a provincial business and constitutional issue.
I'm saying, but it does also mean that municipal managers themselves must be held responsible for alerting their administrations of such changes and what it will mean for their financial coffers. Secondly, just the legislative basis for the Department of Rural Development and so on, vesting. This is the deeds register, which is in their hands. That's the reason for vesting, for example, for the Yeah, what I'm saying is that unproclaimed, but also once proclaimed, that's where you say this is the property. So that's the rationale for its involvement. Okay, but then what about properties in the homelands? Why do you still, why must it still be part of the Department of Rural Development? Is there any rational basis for that, from your understanding?
My understanding is that in terms of the proclamations that were made,
yes,
and the constitution,
yes,
all TBVC states, the land belongs to the Minister of Department of Public Works. That's the custodian.
Yes.
The rest, the Minister of Rural Development, not Public Works. And then the rest is the Minister of Public Works.
That's why I'm asking, what legal, constitutional,
yes,
rationale exists for continuation of that thing? Doesn't make sense to me. Or does it make sense to any one of you lawyers?
No.
Yes. This is crazy. I don't understand it. Okay. But that's the question I had. But the only, the one observation I just want to make, Public Works, in your presentation, ma'am, you know this issue of debt, we raised it during the State of the Nation address, not, and it was not for the first time, we had raised it in the past, we raised it in the ad hoc committee's report on service delivery, we raised it there, we've raised it in other committee meetings. In our interaction, the then Minister of Public Works, Jeff Deutsch, presented to us on this. We asked them explicitly to come and talk to us on this matter and so on and so on. And, okay, it's not just you, but I also realized that even in our budget review recommendation report, the first one, the first such report, we pointed out this matter as an issue of concern to us. But when you account, when you say where it comes from, there's no reference to your being responsive to committees of parliament. I don't know. I mean, like, I felt a bit awkward raising it because it sounds like we want to be acknowledged to have raised it. That it's not just coming up from the air, but that it is also amongst other reasons, whatever reasons might exist, but amongst other reasons, it's because parliament has been raising this issue not once, not twice, not thrice, many times before. So as part of your reporting, acknowledging the relationship between the work you do and what Parliament has been raising sounds to me like an appropriate accountability response. It's that sort of thing. And finally, the deadline, March 2012. I hope members are noticing that people from the department here of COCTA. But we raised sharply that this thing must be finished by end of the financial year. Okay, the debt issue. Now, you know, there must be a dramatic change. They were claiming all sorts of difficulties. We do want to repeat it, that your deadline is correct. It must be all-encompassing. We really would like to see a dramatic thing. And we'd like SALGA to be really proactive, aggressively proactive around it, SALGA, Department of Public Works, National Treasury, and them. It's really, this thing will put government in a space in which it will be able to pursue others, as it must do simultaneously, business and residents, so that you don't at any time point fingers when you yourself are unable to really have any integrity to speak about on that issue. So That's why we feel strong about it. It gives us an opportunity to really walk our talk and be exemplary and recognize the impact of this on the administration and on the services in municipalities. It makes a huge difference to small municipalities who are owed 250,000. It's a small change by a department that manages 50 billion rand. But to that municipality, it makes a huge impact. So that's why I thought we should appreciate the deadline that we're putting there. It's in line with what he had suggested elsewhere. So, members, questions and comments from yourself. Honorable Dumi Langetwa, Marty, Peter Smith, in that order. Osmuris, Lue, okay. Gosia, Naweba.
Thanks, Chair.
That's much.
Chair, I just want to thank you to have this subject at heart. Each and every meeting, each and every provincial visits we go, you pursue this issue to each and every department. But as you have correctly said now, that to me, I see the pace is moving very slowly of responding on what we want to achieve here. We are still singing the very same old good song when coming to a min-neck resolutions of land audit. We were singing that song, but it's still now taken as a resolution. It means that there's not even an inch that they've moved to accomplish what we are looking for. And also to check on SALGA, out of the 278 municipalities, how many of them have managed to come, what we have seen in this presentation, of saying who are able to split the bills and rates? In your program, is there any in your program, as you are a new executive of SALGA, seeing that this is a problem in many municipalities, that you said you've taken a resolution that you'll assist the municipalities as a pilot project again from how many municipalities you have targeted that you'll assist in splitting of this billing system, because it goes beyond that. It even affects our communities. Some of the protests that we've been observing in municipalities, the part of billing system, it's the one. So what is in your program, and how many of the municipalities you've targeted that need to make a pilot project? Percentage-wise, how much, since you started this subject, municipalities have been able to be paid? And also, public works, I just want to check, because you said you had a pilot project with Etegwini and Port St. John's. How is the move there? Is there any inch? What is the difference? Is there any improvement on that pilot project? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. From the presentation, it was said that it's up to the municipality to make sure that they have the correct addresses and the details. It is not up to the municipalities to make sure. It is up to the department to make sure that they provide the municipalities the correct details. And I think you cannot blame the municipalities for sending accounts out to the wrong addresses if you have not supplied them with the correct addresses. Also, I think it's a little bit unfair to say that they must have the correct individual's name on the bill. That's nonsense, as far as I'm concerned, because those people come and go. If that person goes away from the department, he goes into file 13, so it's another excuse why the account shouldn't be paid. I think it shouldn't be relevant. They must make sure that the bills go to the right department. The other one is the interest, writing off of interest. Why? Individuals have to pay the interest in their own municipalities. Why should the department be treated under different principles? That's not right. If they owe it, they must pay it. The municipalities have had major cash flow problems. They had to probably incur overdrafts. They had to pay interest on that, so why should the department not pay that interest? They owe it to them, they must pay. Then further to that, they were saying that exorbitant rates are being charged. Where was the department during the valuation board? Why did they not participate? Why did they not object? Everybody else is paying according to the valuation of that particular municipality. So why must be a different principle again applied to the department? I think we must be very, very consistent in what we are doing and how we are billing. If the billing is there and they've accepted it and they have not raised objections during the evaluation roll, they've got to pay. It's not a question of investigating thereafter as to where, what, and how. And further to that, I would also like to know what efforts have been made by the department to resolve the issues of the previous homeland. And the billing goes into the correct to public so that they can pay the accounts instead of removing and removing it from rural development. It doesn't belong there. I'd like to know if they made an effort to transfer it yet, and if not, why not? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. You know, I must say I feel slightly less antagonistic towards our guests than my colleagues today. Maybe it's because I wasn't aware of the fact that anything was being done at all. So I'm actually pleasantly surprised that we are where we are in respect to what government's doing, because this has been on our agenda for so long. But I don't think we've had a briefing yet as to what the response of government has been. So although I can see some shortfalls, I'm happy at least that it is a concerted effort being made to reconcile this, to deal with the problem. But some specific questions. This deadline of March the 12th, I find it's a bit of an ambiguous one to me, because if one reads the slide, and I think also having regard to what was said about public works, the wording seems to be that suggests that the March 12th deadline refers to the arrears, not to the normalization of a payment regime of rates. If that's correct, then I want to know what the time frame is for the normalization, where this issue will no longer be an issue, where on a normal annual basis everything's paid and there's no contestation, everything's hunky-dory. What time frame do you envisage for that, if this March 12th refers to arrears? And secondly, I'd be quite interested to know, I got no sense from Selga at all, actually, of contestation with the DPW. It was almost as if the issues are purely technical issues of payment methodology, whereas I understand there are many instances where there's a strong contestation as to the amounts. So maybe someone can indicate, either from both sides, what sort of rough percentage of the amounts that are in arrears are actually contested in some way. Then thirdly, I wasn't quite sure, because you see, look at Selga's presentation, it talks about Selga and DPW engagement, so you'd think it's reflecting perhaps a common, I'm not sure, a common position or not. But I thought I heard Selga saying that it wanted like a 3-year cut-off. There was a throwaway line, so I don't actually see it in the text. A 3-year cut-off for the repayments, whereas DPW are saying, no, we're going clawing back as far as we can go. Yeah, but the way they put it, it was almost like it's as if it's there. But DPW is saying, no, there's no 3-year anything. We're clawing back the dot. At least my understanding is that anyway. Then the next one, what is the exact status of Ngonyama Trust in respect of Brett's story now? Who, if anyone, is responsible for rates from that source?
And if it is a challenge, in what way is it a challenge?
Yes. Okay. Then you spoke about 1.8 billion grant, the budget, 1.8 billion currently, and that there was a 60% take-up, and now it's up to 70. What I'd like to know is, has anyone computed what the grant should be if this problem did not exist? So government was paying all its bills on correctly valued state property. What do you think the budget should be? Because you made reference, for example, to the Western Cape, which needs like five times more. KZN was 300 million, became a billion, etc., etc. What should the bill be of state's budget for rents? Then, lastly, maybe, if DPW is responsible for the payments the way you explained through the devolving system, etc., how does rural development pay? I mean, what is the story in terms of that department and its payment history or challenges? Because everything here is about public works. I don't hear anything about this department, and yet it's responsible, theoretically, for a large chunk of the country's state resources. Thanks.
No.
you very much. It's really discouraging to really seeing that we are still having problems related to the former homeless. One sitting here is asking herself a question, what has been happening? People have been appointed, what have been they doing at the end of the day? But that is the case. In slide is page 6, whereby they were talking about challenges and interim solutions, whereby they are saying that there is delay in municipality to generate invoice, then the solution is the Department of Public has already adopted support strategy to assist law. Does this mean that it has adopted, is not implemented? And if it was adopted, when was it adopted? So that a person must be really see if the strategy is having an impact. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not too sure what has been asked because I've just been asked for a while. But I'm glad to hear the strides that have been made, Chairperson. But I also want to say it's a little bit too late. A little bit that has been done too late. But we are grateful for what is being done. But this task thing that has been set up, Chair, is there a status quo report that can be put on the table now that can tell us out of this province? We've got figures here. No? But can break it down and say these are the crisis issues in each area so that we can see what is happening. When you speak to a municipality would give you one story. When you speak to Cocter would give you another story. Today we speak to DPW. DPW says we've got everything under control. This is the program that we have. It's almost as if, you know, one would like to see all the parties together at one stage so that this thing can be thrashed out. So I'd like to know if there's a drill-down report that can say to us, these are the crucial issues in each municipality, province by province. Let me leave it there for now.
Chair and honourable members, our honoured guests, good morning, Chair, and congratulations to you, and also congratulations to the presenters for the wonderful report. Must start there, Chair. And to just indicate that it is unfortunate that my colleague from the DA has used a very strong word here, nonsense. I think it's very, very strong language in my view, but she's entitled to have you. If I was in her booth, I would say with respect, because that is her view, which I must say is not shared by certainly me. Of course, I'm not from the DA, that's why. Chair, on the issues, first of all, the presentation from Public Works, just to indicate correction on slide number 6, where they refer to Port St. John's municipality being in Umtata. I think that's an error. They might just change that. It's giving problems. That's my constituency, OR Tambo. If they say in the Eastern Cape, they will cover themselves very well, because they are covering themselves very well in the next slide. That is the Eastern Cape and the end, but certainly not part of Umtata. Yes. Then the other recommendation. It's around the vexed question, the challenge around fixing rates in rural areas, traditional communities. Let's simply go through it. I think they are traveling carefully as if they are walking on dancing on eggs. Yeah, exactly. I would say that's why. And I was interested to know, you see, on what basis do they say so? I know that we did pass that act, the Municipal Property Rate Act, which covers all those areas, but we were cautious. I think the department was doing something around that question. It is not an easy question. But I think that is also incidental to the Ngonyama Trust issue, because Ngonyama Trust is also a traditional community entity that is, of course, protected by legislation. Perhaps when they are responding to that question, I would like them to be broader, also to give clarity around this question, whether our rondavels are now owing debts. Traditional leaders have got a responsibility to find out. The other one, Chair, on this question of the debts, there is also the question of prescription. You know, if you owe somebody something in terms of the laws of this country, it is prescribed at some point. But I don't get a sense and a feel that the question of prescription is actually taken into the question when they're dealing with these issues. Because if you don't follow up your debt to me and then it is prescribed in terms of the law, you must forget. The other one, Chair, is the question of the IGR, the intergovernmental relations. I see and I appreciate that there is this engagement, particularly between the two departments, but I don't get a sense and a feel that the structures that we presented the Parliament put in place to give teeth on such issues have been invoked here. I hear the Chief Financial Officer, she's sharing sort of a structure similar. I think that may be, but I don't get that is a structure contemplated in the IGR Act, which we piloted at this committee and Parliament passed, which, of course, would be very, very helpful in dealing with these issues. Yes, I think I think let me just pause there, Chair, by also indicating that I think the Chief Financial Officer was correct. Some people seem to charge whatever, if you are a state or a government entity, you charge abnormally. We must congratulate them for having actually picked this thing up, because you can't charge the state or the state entities more than you should charge, because that is unfair discrimination, which is prohibited by our constitution. The Thabong Futsanyane case that has been brought to our attention is a cause for concern, and I don't know how we can monitor this. Yes, our municipalities, we want them to have money, yes, but we don't want them to be enriched at the expense of the state. No, it would be unfair. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered by my colleague. A lot has been said, but there's only one question. When we met, then it was Honorable Deutsch was the minister, and then we asked them this few questions. Whether you know your as a department your property, be provincial or national, cause we asked a question, because when we deal with properties, maybe we by then we said whether the properties belong to a province or national, we must know what properties the government is having. The no, you were not sure then. I don't know whether or not we are sure which properties are yours, which properties are not yours, which one belongs, the exact numbers, which property with Roland, I don't know the development now or what, but you said before, all properties belong to Department, others are provincial and others are national. If maybe, whether we haven't got answer now, if you can tell us, what property do you have? Thanks.
Because of who you are, you will not make submissions to it. But you call it independent, that it must respond on the basis of people in society, and therefore it, for its legitimacy, it must be seen to have received as broad an input as possible from everyone itself. That's where it generates its input from. Those who did not participate in it can't then blame the outcomes of the planning commission if they didn't make an input in the first place. Their cries are illegitimate. Because that's an independent commission. By the way, remember they are reporting on the 11th. So when we invite people to comment, even if we are cooking them, okay, I can't imagine that being an intention. If you don't participate, the outcome does not favor you. You are in deep trouble. That's what Mati Wenga is saying. Of course, you can quarrel with their language, you know. Poets often go into flowery language. They can go into flowery language to dramatize their story. But I think objectively, if you as the minister of public works, you redeploy Honorable Munzit to handle finance, to handle rural development and no longer finance, and then you expect Port St. John's, you know, the two big guys, to know that. I'm being specific. It's unfair. It's an unfair on their part to expect that. One guy said to me, I was trained as an environmental health practitioner in municipalities. The new mayor is saying I must go and deal with housing, and I have no clue about housing. Okay. So, I mean, it's the same thing. Who has the responsibility to communicate with the other? Intergovernmental relations. Who is responsible for communicating with the other? The one who makes changes, introduces changes, in who is responsible, there's the responsibility to communicate to other parts of government. That, by the way, no, this is the new person who's handling the staff, so that you smooth intergovernmental relations. So in the absence of that, we don't have a good relationships if we don't take that responsibility. So first we must look at our own problems and then look at the others' problems as well. Members, have you exhausted your questions? I just wanted to say to Honorable Ntangeto right here, her MEC for Public Works, National Public Works, Dr. What's her name? What is the doctor from Mpumalanga? Yes, that doctor. The MEC, that doctor is out of order. Yes, yes, please, he's out of order. We wrote to him. He must produce the evidence. You must find out why they have not responded to us in our capacity as the team of the ad hoc committee when requesting information from them. They've never bothered to respond to us. I can say so because I also SMS'd it. You know, by the way, SMS is a legal instrument of communication. Okay. I can divorce you, Sherry, by SMS. And it's legally binding. I can't go and withdraw it when you have already gotten your certificate with pleasure. No, and they didn't bother to respond. I'm saying that because we just wanted to get a sense how soon they're going to respond and so on and so on. So you must tell them when you meet them in your other capacity that when you treat Parliament with contempt, you are not worth being respected as well. You are just inviting disrespect. Intergovernmental relations means also that you must respect each other and so on. So when you don't treat Parliament or its committees with respect, you invite disrespect. We would like to stay away from such language as much as possible because it inflames our relationships and so on. But because we come from Mpumalanga, we must give you this message formally in a meeting. After this meeting, we must go and write him a love letter. Tell him. Yes. Councillor Johnson, but in World Cup.
No, thank you, Chair. I think that issues will be dealt with by the technical people in terms of issues that was raised. But I think the issue that I want to really raise is that you see, I think the most important part is that I think there's a lack of communication with our counterparts, in particular Public Works as well as the COXTA. If you look at the programs and actions that they have taken already and not bringing Sanga on board, we started the process and we are reflecting it now in our submission, what we agreed upon to do certain things as a collective to be able to reach to a conclusion and implementable solutions, but it does not really happen. You can hear there are forums that have been established. They have met with COXTA, but there's no way that Salga is part of it. And some of these things, we just get it here after having meetings and discussed and agreed. Implementation of that particular issues have been taken separately. But also the other issue that we need to raise, and sharply so, you see, Department of Public Works, at this point in time, we cannot take the blame and put it on Rural Development Department. So there are certain properties are belonging to that particular department. How long is the department in existence to come now and say, you must take this responsibility and deal with this particular areas in terms of the assets and so on? I think it was solely the responsibility of Public Works. And for now to really deal with these issues and get to a point where we'll be able to resolve on these issues, it should be the responsibility of Public Works to say, how do we move forward? And at that point, we'll be able to say, well, this goes now to rural development, and he must take that responsibility onwards and deal with it, especially if we talk about the former Botswana areas and so on and so on. How do we deal with it? We must be able to deal with it in that fashion. Yeah, but I'm saying, Chair, I think that is the areas that are really lacking in terms of the communication. And I think whatever we try to do as a collective, if it is not coordinated, Salah can stand up and sort of know, we'll mobilize and make municipalities aware that this is a challenge that we're having. But if we have been excluded at a point, we'll not be able to take that responsibility and deal with those issues. But I think I was just supposed to raise those issues and say, that is what we need to do. But I think the officials will respond on some of the tangible issues that they have been dealing with in the process of their own research and making our presentations to us. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think most of the questions actually relate to Public Works more than even to Salga. Chair, we appreciate the positive comments as my starting point. Let me respond to the issues of the fact that this whole exercise was pushed by Parliament. It is true. It was pushed by Parliament, and that is why the DGs of the different departments came together to form this task team that can respond to what Parliament has directed to be done.
in that first meeting of June, which was facilitated by COGTA and SAGA being an institution reporting to COGTA, our understanding was that SAGA was going to be there, but SAGA was never there. As public works, because we've worked with SAGA, we insisted that SAGA must be there. In all the engagements that we had with COGTA, SAGA was not there. But that is not something that public works can drive. We can only deal with the debt and manage what we owe as DPW to the municipalities. But in terms of aligning and strengthening relationships, certainly it is out of public works. The pace is slow, as responded to by the member on the land audits. We have accepted that we did not move as fast as we had planned in 2010. Rural Development 2 years ago embarked on a project of land audits, which was concluded. Apparently, they've realized that it had shortcomings, and they have started a new process now, Rural Development, of doing land audit. Let me also clarify that Rural Development has always, since the proclamation, the constitution, has always been the custodian of the TPVC estates. All what we are doing as public works was to pay property rates, which we are paying. What we are going to devolve, it's not the properties. They have always been under Rural Development. What we are going to devolve is just the budget for them to take the responsibility of paying the property rates. We are not giving them any land or any responsibility on land. It has always been. And fortunately, Chair, I come from Rural Development. I've been there for 8 years, just less than 2 years ago. So I know that we've been responsible for state land in Rural Development. What we are going to devolve is just the budget for them to pay the property rate, because we are doing that on their behalf, and we are paying. And we just need to give them their budget. In terms of municipalities, we've heard quite a number. Limpopo, in the first year, they did not spend the grant. The municipalities, they've got a lot of low-capacity municipalities who were not generating any billing. But the support that they got from the provincial public works, last year they were able to spend 100% of the grant, which shows the initiatives that were put in place to go to the municipalities to assist them. The issue of incorrect addresses, we are not throwing it back at the municipalities to say, you don't know the address, therefore we are not interested. The forums that we sit in and meetings that we've had with the municipalities actually was exactly to address any challenge immediately. That is why we realized that just talking telephonically and sitting back and hoping that an invoice will be dropped, it won't happen. You have to go there. If provincial public works receives an invoice that belongs to national public works, provincial makes it a point that the invoice is received by national. So we facilitate from our side to make sure that the invoices are correctly submitted between national and provincial. And it goes back to that question to SAGA that was saying, how are they sensitizing the municipalities? Because some municipalities could not differentiate between national and provincial public works. That's where the mixture of some of the invoices came in. But that has improved significantly. The progress with the pilot, we only piloted two since we started with this project in June. That was at Atagwini and the Port St. John in the Eastern Cape. We've got a report, a complete report. There's a cabinet memo draft that we are also preparing to report back in terms of the fact that the Parliament gave this directive to say do something, to report progress in terms of what we are doing. The reason on interest, we are not saying we don't want to pay interest, but we have a number of cases where the municipalities never billed us. But when they decide and wake up that they were supposed to have billed, then they bill with interest retrospectively from when they were supposed to bill. And those are the unfair issues that we raised with SAGA. We had an action plan with SAGA that was presented to the MINMEX that was discussed in the HOD forum, because we also have an HOD forum where we meet with the HODs of the provincial departments of public works. And we roped in SAGA because we realized their role in terms of interacting with municipalities. And we raised the issue of interest where municipalities never build, or municipalities, sometimes they would send invoices where invoices were not delivered to the correct places, to say, you delivered these invoices to us, to national, not to provincial. You need to consider those facts that we had to transfer those invoices back to the provincial public works. We are not at any way contemplating that they must not charge interest, but it has to be fair within. We look at who what made that interest to accumulate. Exorbitant rates. This one it's just a bit unfair because we've looked at the other rates in the Free State, but for this particular municipality, it's just unbelievable. If you can see how much for the same size of property, you compare one municipality to the other, it's not acceptable at all. We also raised issues of Malutia Pofu. It's Malutia Pofu, yes. The objections. When you receive the valuation roll, you are given 30 days to object. National Public Works owns, we are the custodian of 108,000 properties, 35,000 approximately 35,000 land and 76,000 properties. There is no way you can go through the entire valuation roll within 30 days. And our request, with the interaction of SASGA, was to request a different dispensation for government for us to submit objections. 30 days is not enough for us to object even on the properties that we have. And I think that's where we were talking about waiving of interest and dealing with, and also giving a special dispensation to schools and clinics. We were saying, we are three spheres of government. We all understand the challenges of cutting electricity at hospitals and schools. Why don't we get a different dispensation for schools and clinics in terms of the rates that we pay to the municipalities? And we wrote in Treasury also to look at a different way of funding the municipality for those special functions that we have in the country, where we cannot definitely afford a cutting off of electricity. Normalization of payments. Yes, we are talking about payments prior to April 2008, but anything after that, there is no reason why the province is not paying, why National is not paying. And that is why in those cases where we find that payment is not made, we take real harsh measures, because if you incur interest on your current invoices where things are supposed to be moving smooth, then that is serious fruitless expenditure. The only reason why you do not pay current is when you have not received the invoice. And that is why as National, we also promoting the use of IEWEX, the system that we are using to pay property rates. And we've rolled out that system, I think, to about six of the provinces are using IEWEX. And therefore, from that system, we are able to see how property rates are paid. We are working towards that normalization in terms of the payment of rates. And that is why you saw with Port St. John's, when we provided proof of payment, they were able to validate and see that we have paid. The only thing is that they haven't allocated our payments. In terms of how much is contested, we won't be able to give an amount because we've just received 45 boxes full of invoices from all the municipalities. So once we have gone through the boxes and addressed all the issues, we'll get a sense of the invoices that do not belong to us. But with regards to Eteguini and Port St. John's, because we've already done that, we are able to can submit in writing the amounts that we have already said this does not belong to public works. The 3-year cutoff was more around the prescription period, because municipalities can bill you now for something that was supposed to have been built 10 years ago. And those were the interactions that we had with SALCA then to say, we need to agree on a prescription period. We know that for municipal debt, the prescription period can range from 15 to 30 years. But we wanted a cutoff because all the municipalities were given an opportunity to present all the outstanding invoices before the devolution of 1st April 2008, and they never did. After that period that was granted around 2009, we gave them another opportunity to present all the invoices that were still outstanding. The invoices were not presented. The 45 boxes, it's because of the intervention that was done by Treasury to say, if you don't submit what you have listed as debt owing to us, we are not going to regard this as a genuine debt. And that is why now all the municipalities submitted the invoices.
Okay, I think this item has taken much longer than you thought. I just want to make a few points. I mean, I think the point about contestation, and I think the question was, you know, where are we disagreeing on? I mean, for me, fundamentally, the system is an overburden on municipalities. Splitting the bill, finding the correct department, finding the correct, what we haven't spoke about. I mean, and just understand, what we've spoken about now is public works only. Add to this, in fact, the other half of the complexity, which I think is even greater, is the line departments. Okay, the line departments who are responsible for payment of services. So if the electricity bill is not paid, it's not the responsibility of public works. It's the responsibility of now those 32 odd national departments or many, many, many other provincial departments. So it's an incredibly complex system. I mean, and we've made this client, owner and municipal relationship into a very complex intergovernmental system, which I think, for me, I think is eventually going to just implode in this complexity. I know Kathy and the reason, in fact, we're working, I disagree with Kathy on many things, in fact, we have these discussions, but at least there's commitment from the department to listen to Salga and to listen to the issues that we're raising, in fact. But fundamentally, I think this thing is a problem because it's not going to work. We need to streamline it. We need one department that just pays everything. I know that the idea of responsibility, if you're a department that you using this property, using the services, you must pay for the services, and public works must pay for the rates because they're the owner of the property. But the point is that it makes sense if you're sitting in Pretoria. And theory, on paper, it all makes absolute sense. In practice, when you go down to Port St. John's, it doesn't work. Because every time government communication, government configuration changed, every time the name of the person responsible for at any department, not just public works, but the line department or at public works, it changes. So communication needs to go up to every municipality, either in the province or national. So, Chair, just come beginning to answer your question about communication. I mean, that was why we got out of the 6 resolutions here at the MINMAC, that we need to conduct an awareness campaign. But in fact, this is not something we can do once off. It's an operational system of communication. We can do once off. In fact, we've raised and we've done this presentation at the budget for the budget weeks of Salga to try and create awareness about the overall system. And I mean, even as far as our last provincial conferences, when I was presenting some of these points, and when I made the point, well, that rural development is responsible for property rates in some of your municipalities, most people are not aware. So I think, you know, the overall system needs to be looked at. I mean, we can definitely try and sort of patch certain problems here and there and try and build capacity and go in and address certain problems, but I think it's really top heavy. The other part is about the issue of unspent grants. I mean, when grants are not spent, I mean, you know, the question is, and this is something we've raised at the budget forum and with Treasury, when grants are not spent, who do we put the blame at, you know, and especially if it's a local government conditional grant. So when the grant for bulk water infrastructure is not spent, is it the responsibility of the... And what we do is, because it's a local government grant, we say, well, local government is responsible for this. But it's the line department that's actually managing this. And therefore, I think we need to understand when the grants are not spent, it's not the recipient or the final user of the grant that's actually always responsible. Creating any shots with public works here. The issue of the valuation roles and interest. Rates is, in fact, a function of a local municipal valuation role. And in fact, I think the point that was made is that there's a local process, and in fact, your department has been, I think you've probably gone through the amendment of the Municipal Property Rates Act. I mean, that's the process. And not all municipalities actually undertake the rates, the valuation roles all at the same time. So maybe we need to find a different way of streamlining it for government. And in fact, that point maybe should be raised into the, we should raise this, maybe the committee can raise this, when the parliamentary process for the amendment of the Property Rates Act is tabled. The last point I want to make, Chair, is that why do we pay property rates? The reason we pay property rates, and in fact this is, again, the basis of our argument with the rates ratios limiting property rates collection that the department has passed. The reason you collect property rates is that you need to fund services that you cannot directly recover costs from. Okay. So we understand, I think it's very important. I mean, you know, there are schools need to pay, schools, you know, are public institutions, there are learners there, and we need to look after the learners. Okay. However, the municipality also has to look after its finances, and it has to provide certain services to all schools. In fact, even more so to public schools. So public schools, you know, I mean, we make sure that the scholar patrol is there, your traffic officer is there, your environmental health officers are there, when the fire brigade gets there, the ambulance gets there. Now, those things cost money. And if you don't get it out there, then, I mean, you're going to go back to your council and say, well, why are you not get things out yet? And then what we do, and the department has already done so, they've now come up with a rates ratio limiting how much municipalities can collect on public benefit organizations. In fact, those are the institutions that actually get the larger number of services from municipalities. So next time when you want to send out your fire engine to the school, and if the municipality doesn't have money, it's not going to get there. Or do we start charging for that? So I think, you know, I mean, and we've raised this issue of property rates. It's not a nice to have piece of money. I mean, but it's fundamental to the functioning of a municipality. Particularly a rural municipality, they need the funding to fund basic services. Those ones you can't collect funds directly from user charges.
I'll be very brief. We also have a disjuncture with the systems that is allowed for in the Systems Act. Now, the Systems Act allows for the consolidation of billing, right? In Section 70, Section 81. In other words, the principle is that you as the owner can be held liable for water and electricity and rates as the owner. You don't even have to stay there. It was a big deal in Msunduzi when we changed the system there, where many landlords cried foul. They said, I don't even know who is staying in my property. How can you hold me accountable? But the law allows that. And it allows that because the law wants to create a framework wherein local government can collect revenue that is due to it, because it has already paid Eskom and the water boards for that water. Now, if we must go and chase only the landlord or only the person who has used, is going to be a problem. We're going to end up with bigger debt. That is why the law was amended, or that's why the system is like that. When it comes to public property, it is the exact opposite, it is as if they are not bound by that law or by our system of consolidated billing. Now, the minute you have a billing system, and that same billing system has given you two separate results, you've got a serious problem. And that is what our municipalities are telling us. Yes, they want us to pay education for water and electricity, but for the school, for the property, we must send some. That billing system is a very complex billing system. And it is unfair to visit that upon a municipality. Even the cities don't have that. Or they have a difficulty in splitting. And the cost is enormous. It is absolutely, it's one of those unintended things which result in an unfunded mandate where just in order to collect money, you must spend so much money that it is actually cheaper just to let it lie. It's actually cheaper just to escalate, because to get that, you're going to have to reconfigure your billing system to actually give you that result.
Unfortunately, we haven't discussed this with Treasury. This was a policy decision that was made, in fact, prior to before 2008, and approved at the budget forums. I know when I raised this with Kathy, she said the same thing. She said, "Well, this is what I found here."
If you want to, Chair, I can just quickly. Sorry, my apologies. Can I go? We have, Chair, when it comes to the implementation of the Systems Act, you will not find. And a cost analysis of what does it actually cost to implement this. It is something that we've raised with COCTA at a technical level, saying, we are now changing, for example, the regime on the property rights, the capping of the 0.25. What is that going to cost local government? You find that the partners do not have either not the ability or they don't have the information to actually come up with that kind of costing. So that answer we will never know. It is not part of the of their mechanism or their process of how they put forward policy. But it is something that we are now very actively and deliberately starting to focus on, because there are many examples of these which, yes, even through our own ignorance, that have slipped through, but which are now end up costing municipalities just in order to implement.
Yeah, and in fact, Chair, I think it seems that prior to around 2008 and beyond, before that, there were many legislation and pieces of policies that were approved. I'll give you another example, the Consumer Protection Act. Okay, again, it only came into effect now, but it was approved as a piece of legislation many years ago. Quite silent, private sector got ready, implemented this year, and suddenly municipalities are found wanting. The property rates ratios, slowly over the last 3 years, 4 years, 3 years, they've been slowly been eroded through these limits, regulations limiting rates. So there has a couple of years, and I think Jan is correct. I think we've been a bit more vigilant, and I think over the last year, 2 years, there's no major legislation that has a direct impact, but we're sitting with many of these policies that were through around 2008 and before.
Well, it just strengthens the point I was making earlier about your own alertness to what is emerging, the administrative and financial consequences. Without that, it's very not easy to make a proper impact in argument. The other thing I wanted to say is that in the presidency, there are people who have worked with the presidency about assessing any legislation for its financial or administrative burden. That exercise, one or two departments have apparently done that. It might be useful to check with them, those people. I think they've tried to come and speak to us. It might be useful to interact with it, so that any legislation that emerges is subjected to that process, including the property rates bill, wherever it is at the moment, to look at what you are raising with us now about what are the likely consequences of that cap on municipal finances and so on. Wendy, you look tired. You wanted to ask something. What was
it? Jefferson, at that stage you wanted to ask it. There's been lots of discussions. We've just come from the conference, the meetings with the Finance and Fiscal Commission.
Yes.
Has this ever been raised there? Has it been raised at MINMAC? Because it's coming out now very strongly, even to us as the portfolio committee. The splitting of the bill is the cause of the problems, or is causing major problems with for the payment of settling of these bills. I think the answer came it has never been taken up with Treasury. But has it ever been addressed anywhere else that this is the crux of the matter?
Mine is just to ask whether you did meet with the Department of in presidency, the Department of Evaluation, Performance and Monitoring. So the report you are giving us, maybe the whether you gave them. So there's something we would like to check from there.
Maybe we did at the budget forum last year do a very detailed presentation on understanding the debt owed to municipalities and the challenges. And we have raised it in fact, that's the highest level that we have access to at National Treasury. So even this specific problem issue was actually raised there. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I think we need to be realistic as to what municipalities can and what they cannot do, and what the billing systems are able to do and not able to do. And I think this is one of the main issues. And I think the department can come up with any kind of proposals as to this is how they want things done and so on. We need to streamline it in accordance with the competency of what the municipal billing system can accommodate. And I think it needs to be adjusted according to that. Because it's no use coming up with system knowing fully well it's not going to work and the debt is going to escalate and escalate and escalate because they are not able to meet those demands. So I think we need to look at a model or something they can, probably the central department has suggested earlier on, where they will be responsible, the central department will be there to decipher and allocate the different sections of the billing to the different areas we should be responsible for payment. But I think we should not hold the municipalities responsible for having to do that. The municipality must issue the bill, rates and taxes for the property, the electricity, the service charges, the water, whatever it is, sewage, refuge removal. It's not their business to start sending six different accounts for one person. It is not a responsibility of a municipality. Municipalities are already struggling to do their work and to get the billing done. I think it needs to be taken a little bit further than this, Chair.
Before you speak, I just want to say, some idea keeps coming that it seems to come to me like, okay, although it's about responding to a national issue, how you want to handle it, it falls to the category of those things that are possible. Just to let you know that we requested Treasury and helicopter. When they spoke, they spoke at the Finance and Fiscal Commission hearing on the fiscal framework for local government. This question arose about this reporting requirement, etc. The answer
there's a mistake here. We are also not sufficiently okay. You know, argue that you've raised it as one of your, you know, like one of your byline arguments, and not passed it out for substantiation as an issue on its own, so that you provide the evidence of the difficulty it creates. In the absence of such evidence, people who are not like you, operating at the WEMS eye view,
who don't have that. They have a helicopter view. There's no way they'll see what you're seeing. Okay. So that's the difficult. So you need to provide them with the evidence to be able to make decisions around that issue. For me, that's one of the things that, firstly, to substantiate it further. Secondly, to link it to the reporting requirements burden, and then continue to have it addressed as an issue that cannot stay reported but unhandled. That appears to me like to be the issue. Okay, yes, Peter.
So, Chair, you might be covering me there too, because I thought we were being a little bit hasty, jumping a gun possibly, mm-hmm. making recommendations that may not be appropriate. I mean, I hear what Selga's saying. On the other hand, Public Works is saying basically as of now,
yes.
the system is functional. The crisis has been dealt with in our arrears. Going forward, we're being told the system is functional, it's operational, it's normal. I'm asking when is the normalization going to occur, and the answer is it's here now. We're only dealing with arrears problems.
Yes.
So from their point of view, there seems to be a functional system. And the problem that we picked up earlier was less that the splitting of the billing. It was more the question of communicating to the municipality where the bill should go.
Okay.
Now that seems self-evident, should be the responsibility of the line function department and not the municipality.
Okay.
But I wouldn't take it as granted that we need now to establish an entirely new system of centralized billing for all government departments, simply in the word of Selga, as a throwaway line in the middle of a discussion. I also agree that there needs to be a lot more discussion to substantiate that, because if the system is working now and it's got to a stage over years of problems to get to it, and to undo the whole thing again now, it's also going to create an enormous amount of instability.
Yeah.
Let's just see first how bad the problem is on the splitting billing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Except that I want to say to you, you seem to be reading her too optimistically. She was saying, you will confirm that otherwise, she wasn't saying the system is functioning well. She is saying that if there is any current problems, that she doesn't know why they are not paying. It can't be for other reasons, okay? So you are reading that to mean that the function is functioning properly. Is that correct, ma'am? Yes. Go ahead.
It's not functioning properly. We've managed to deal with the teething problems. The issue of splitting the bill is still very, very important, because if you have maybe with National, it's easier because we pay the services for the properties that we own and we pay property rates. Now, when it comes to provincial level, the province is responsible for property rates. The schools are responsible for the services in terms of water and lights. Now, how that delays the payments, because if you are going to generate everything on one invoice and the invoice has to be paid by different institutions, creates problems.
I just say this is fascinating. You know the story I have told you before? Until the lions have their own historians, the history of the hunt will glorify the hunter. The national department, from where they are sitting, can't see the damn problem, because it's so convenient and easy for them, because it's neat and convenient. But the worm's eye view, man, from a local municipality, hey, these guys are crazy. Can't they see what burden they're causing us? How do they expect us to generate this complex splitting of this thing, and how much is it going to cost us to do that? So you're not hearing local government, in my opinion, from your remarks here. So you're not hearing them. So this is a classical case of people standing from different platforms and seeing different parts of the elephant, as they say. One is saying the tail, the other assumes the tail is the other stuff in front. So I think you need a dialogue around this issue, so that what appears to be okay is simple, rather easy to do from where you are sitting. Look at it from the other Johann Mettler's shoes, although they are big. Literally, and so that you can respond to them with a bit more understanding and so on. Yes, I think Selga must substantiate this matter. I think you must produce more evidence. It will help persuade people and so on. And Peter, I don't think, you see, you must also not respond ideologically to. As you typically also use the inflammatory language, centralization, and therefore we must all be scared of centralization.
So we can't assume that it's going to be better. No, the problem is the opposite assumption, that splitting, which is fragmenting, is going to work, and it's not working. That's the problem of that assumption is incorrect, and they can demonstrate to you, in my opinion, from already what we are seeing. That's why it's not happening, because it is complete different. The assumptions that they made at the top to fragment and splinter payment back is the problem. So it is that assumption that I'm worried about.
When you have a trust, doesn't answer that one.
Yes. They are still tap dancing, as you correctly said. They are afraid to engage. Tell us, what's your story?
Chair, maybe we thought this one wouldn't come back because the issue of Ingonyama Trust is still under legal review.
Sure.
Ingonyama Trust is tribal land belonging to the Ingonyama. The challenge here is who is responsible for payment of property rates, because the land does not belong to the provincial public works, it does not belong to the national. Now, the legal opinion that is being sought now is that of getting a clear conclusion on who is responsible for paying on Ingonyama tribal land.
Okay. You see, Peter Smith and the absent Ngosi Nongonyan would agree on one thing, that you dare not rape what you call tribal land, communal land. You dare not. To even ask the question of who must pay rent, for them, is you are inflaming them. And when you say review, who's doing that review? Who's reviewing that? Well, under legal review, can you just explain that? Is it in court or is it by who? Who's doing the review?
Chair, it's handled by Rural Development. We are not saying we don't want to pay.
No.
It will raise audit queries if we pay.
No. We want to know what the state of affairs is. Instead of running away, which you unsuccessfully tried to do, we want these answers that you are giving. Because it would really be, we just want to know what the state. Who's doing the legal review? The Department of Public Works? Or who's doing the review? Rural Development. They are reviewing this thing.
You are.
Just a follow up
now. Yes.
Just a follow up.
Yes.
The land does not belong to national, does not belong to the province. And I'm not talking about the tribal or urban. The land does not belong to national, does not belong to the province. And there's no board who's in charge of them, the race who's going to do part of the land. I'm not talking about party and the tribal or what. I'm talking about the land.
This is going to be interesting stuff. Yeah. Okay. I see you are quiet there, Zulveli. You want to enter the debate?
No, Chair. I didn't want to expose what's happening in rural development because I'm part of that portfolio committee.
No, we know you.
But we've raised these issues with the Ingonyama Transport. And the real issue here lingers on, it's not the Ingonyama that owns the land. And it's been deferred to the traditional authorities, because the traditional authorities themselves are the ones located in that particular area with those particular people residing in that area. So this is where we don't really get a clarity as to who the billing should be going to. So it's going to be interesting what the findings are from the inquiry as to who ought to be billed and who ought to settle their accounts.
Okay. No, by introducing Osinong Konyana, and I assume you agree with him, even if you are asking that from that point, that he doesn't want his roundabout, which is an euphemism for his mansion in the rural areas to be raided. No, okay. I think this is a matter that we have to inquire more about. We can go and talk to rural development and find out what they are doing there. Members, you're out of order.
Close to the new committee chair, that we call you to brief us in due course.
To come and account for stories I have no clue about. Okay. Members, the issues we have raised, essentially, I think the complexity of the problem that unfortunately, in the briefing they received, Shireen, I think, should have broadened that mandate to speak about the other issues, the services as well, not just property rights. So that's the one aspect, so that we deal with the issue with its entire complexity and so on. But there are interesting, I think, outcomes of this discussion that my sense is that I think the committee should insist on this matter being handled. Oh, one of the questions I was asking is, the pace at which this thing is being handled is on the assumption of things going on ordinarily with current staff, wherever they are located, at times that they are going to be doing, and the budget they have. That's why you think it might be finished, some of the work might be finished end of the year. Is there a possibility of making a different assumption, of treating it as a project, and therefore the potential to bring in people from other departments to help bring to bed some of the key parts? In other words, the task team that you have, do you think its numbers, the time they spend on the matter, are those assumptions appropriate ones for this kind of thing? In other words, don't we think it's urgent enough to warrant a bigger, broader, speedier resolution, so that in the process we also clean up some of the intergovernmental relations hassles that we have already identified, so that we increase the evidence that we must work with in addressing some of these issues, and whatever remains unresolved becomes is escalated to levels that are appropriate for handling politically and so on. Because I think elements of these things and their location seems to have contained in them political decision making that may have to be done. But for me, I just think that we can't relent on the urgency with which it must be dealt. Complex as it is, we must show and demonstrate with evidence the difficulties that municipalities are facing in implementing this thing. Why? We are having those difficulties that we have. Where it happens, where it has worked, why has it worked? What were the factors that made it work? And whether this must happen. And I think the other issue is for you, SALGA Public Works, COCTA, and Treasury needs to be in the same room with a focused attention on this specific matter as an explicit recommendation. Yes, Peter Smith.
Just think, I know the next item on the agenda is that, but we've only got 45 minutes and it seems to be a substantive piece. Is there not merit? Well, okay, they said they can zap through it quickly. Is there not merit in actually going back to the issue that was, which didn't speak deferred, namely the service charges, since the role players are here, and see what the, get that holistic picture now, and defer this to another meeting, and discuss this issue, the service charges linked to, because Public Works is claiming that's a separate set of problems associated with that, which presumably are separate just from the billing issues. I don't know. Worthy of doing that now. Otherwise, you're going to.
There's a question. What do you suggest? What do you think? Both of you, you can give us your opinion about how you want us to proceed forward. Are you adequately prepared to handle with the services issue and so on? Peter, let me ask you first. Even if they were not briefed, do you want them to proceed?
I think it's logical to complete the picture, so rather than kill it now.
Yeah, logic often doesn't work when conditions are not appropriate. Yes. Yeah. What are you agreeing?
It depends how much time you have left. I mean, if
no,
you, can identify some of the challenges with regards to the side of services. So we can have a discussion around that. In fact, I don't think we've actually had a detailed discussion around that either. We've been specifically, this conversation is very specifically focused on public works and rates.
Yeah.
That discussion will probably require some of the line departments here as well. So you'd need education and you'd need provincial and, in fact, national education, health and whatever departments. And maybe you want to get a sample of them.
Yeah, sample it's you. My request would be for you to identify the two of you from the evidence you have, which ones would be appropriate to bring as examples of what you'd like, some of the problems they are confronting, and so that they are representative of the rest of it. So you would be the best place persons to do that. And then you give that to the committee here to issue invitations for a meeting that can then deal with those issues. Is that okay, members? Shall we approach it that way? All right, let's do it that way. Yes. Okay, so Salga and Department of Public Works, and please, man, Cocta should have been here, disappointed here. And obviously Treasury is also part of this. So it would be useful for you to have a discussion there, a prior discussion, okay? Have a prior discussion before you come to the committee, with in addition to you two, Salga, Cocta, and Treasury, so that when you discuss about those national departments, you're doing it from a common plan. Okay. it's 10 minutes left. You have a presentation for us, right? Take a liquid balancing break.